Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Rebecca King-Ferraro.
And I'm Michael Sean Breeden. And you're listening to Conversations on Dance.
Today on Conversations on Dance, we are joined once again by Susan Jaffe, Artistic Director of American Ballet Theatre. Last time we had Susan on the podcast in late 2022, in episode 309, she was about to take the helm of the company. This week, we get the opportunity to hear from Susan about what her first year has been like, some of the challenges she has faced, and we get a preview of what's next for the company. For more information about upcoming performances of American Ballet Theatre, visit abt.org.
Susan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast once again. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And I was looking back at what the last time we had you on was, and it was just before you took over the directorship of American Ballet Theatre. So I'm wondering if you can tell us as concisely as possible. No, you know, what that experience has been like for you. You've been there a little bit over a year, and maybe just give us some insight into what the reality of it has been compared to that moment a little over a year ago where you were just imagining what it could be.
Yes, thank you. Well, so one of the things that that was something that I did not expect was that our executive director left at the end of May. And so I took over both jobs, artistic director and interim executive director. Wow. And I have been doing that all year. And so this is very new as far as what I expected.
Right.
And on one hand, you know, it was way more than any one person can handle. You know, you can't do both jobs. I would say I probably did both jobs at about 75% each. But that's all you have time for in the day. but it was also an opportunity for me to really get to know the staff and understand how everybody works and keep every, you know, I did all the operations, keep everybody moving forward. Try to keep the team together and inspired as we were waiting for, you know, executive leadership. And I went through, you know, creating the job description and the search for the new executive director all the while there were many changes that I felt the organization needed to make in order to just be a healthy organization that was responsible and was moving, keeping the art form moving forward. So that was new, and I really felt that, or that was something that was not expected. Mm-hmm. And I think through all of my other jobs, like being a dean for 8 years, and really understanding administration, and also being in a smaller company in Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, where there was more administrative, although I did have an executive director there, it equipped me to be able to handle this moment in time. Right. And I think it was a good crash course to really understand the staff and, mm-hmm. and really see where the talents lie and how to best utilize them. I also, of course, got to know the dancers. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I was thrust into was in dancer negotiations. Mm-hmm. And because the executive director is the one who is in those meetings along with the general manager, et cetera. And so that was a challenging time because, mm-hmm. of course, the organization, as with all arts organizations post-pandemic, is struggling mm-hmm. financially. And at the same time, the dancers were as well. So sure. trying to find that balance and really trying my best, because normally unions create an us versus them kind of scenario. Right. Like the management are the, you know, big, bad, you know, dark, scary ones. And we're the ones that are loving and wonderful. And, you know, it's just all of that. It's just built into the system. Mm-hmm. Really trying to make sure that the dancers knew that I was actually really on their side right. while I was trying to keep ABT whole and being able to survive through mm-hmm. post-pandemic times. So it was very challenging.
Yes, for you. It
was very challenging. And we almost ended up in a strike. Mm-hmm. Luckily, that strike was averted due to the fact that we finally came together and found a contract for the dancers that they were happy with and that we could support, even though it will be difficult for the organization. So anyway, it ended up being good that we all made mm-hmm. it through. Mm-hmm. And our new executive director will be coming on June 1st. So it's all in all looking very happy, very upbeat. I will be very excited to have a partner mm-hmm. to run this organization with me. And Barry Hewson, who was or is still the current executive director of the National Ballet of Canada and will step down and come to us on June 1st, is highly experienced mm-hmm. and knows this dance world inside and out and has a great track record of really helping organizations, ballet companies, to become sustainable and healthy mm-hmm. financially. So I'm very excited with that partnership coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder.
Sorry, that was not distinct, but I'm very.
No, we wanted to know what was. No, I mean, it's so interesting because not only are you coming in as a new face, even though it's an organization that you know, there's so much to learn about. And then you're in these two positions. It's so much. But I do wonder, like, now that that's kind of in your rearview mirror, not only you were talking about that you got to know the staff a little bit better, what else did you kind of feel like you learned during that time that will continue to serve you? Like, you really got to look under the hood and see what was going on.
I think that particularly since what we've been through as a country, as in the world, you know, we've been through the Me Too movement, the death of George Floyd, all things DEI are really being focused on, and also just being very aware of how we speak to each other, how we treat each other, mm-hmm. but also looking at our systems of what used to work. Mm-hmm. This is what used to work in the pre-pandemic times, like, for example, in fundraising or even in programming, but what won't work anymore. mm-hmm. and finding creative ways that can bring us into this moment in time, and what kind of programs, for example, are interesting to our public now? What do we need to do to revise certain things that are maybe there are some misappropriations? How do we move the art form forward while preserving the past and bringing it forward? So mm-hmm. creating innovative works, also preserving and revising. We've talked about this, the classics. So it's all of that, but also finding new ways that will work in today's world mm-hmm. in fundraising and marketing and all of those areas. Right. So that's where I've been looking as well.
Right. Maybe you could give us some examples. I have some off the top of my head of programming you've done that would be, I don't know necessarily a risk, but is a change. Like, for instance, last year you had quite a long run of like Water for Chocolate, which is not a brand name. Christopher Wheeldon is a brand name. But why did you feel like that was something important? Why not just do 12 Romeos again? You know, that was, for instance, that was one strong choice I noticed you making, or Wolfworks coming in. Can you talk a little bit about some of the rep and the ideas behind focusing on those works?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Water for Chocolate reached, you know, very out into the Latino communities. A lot more people had their eyeballs on us, you know, from areas that we would not normally attract audience members. And they were so happy. The Mexicans in particular were extraordinarily proud to have such a beautiful ballet created around a Mexican story, for example. Mm-hmm. And so we got to bring in a whole bunch of those new audience members, and hopefully they will have caught a little bit of the bug and want to come back and see Swan Lake, or will want to come back and see Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. And this year, Wolfworks is a very contemporary ballet. It's one of the greatest contemporary full lengths of the 21st century. And it is based off of three books of Virginia Woolf, Mrs. Dalloway, second act is Orlando, and third act is The Waves. And, you know, Virginia wrote very circuitously and much more about essences and not necessarily a linear step-by-step story of things. And this ballet reflects that. It's really interesting because it's deeply emotional. Like the first act is very sort of Tudor-esque in a way, and you get sucked into it. And there are beautiful projections, for example, of Virginia Woolf's gardens, or of London, or and hearing church bells and hearing, and really you get pulled in with the new technologies of today. Mm-hmm. And then second act goes into Orlando and 300 years through Orlando, and also, you know, changing gender and, you know, doing all these things. So, and that is, you know, really signature Wayne McGregor, where, you know, the upper body is so articulate and very contemporary in its pathway, with very balletic from the waist down technique. Mm-hmm. And it also has these amazing lasers. So the dancers are piercing through these walls of laser with haze, and it creates all these different environments. And it's really a crowd pleaser. And then you go into the third act, which is called The Waves, which is Virginia's basically her last decision to take her own life and put rocks in her clothes and go into the lake. And it is so moving. And also, again, with new technologies, these beautiful wall of waves that are moving at such a slow pace. And as the third act gets more and more tumultuous, the waves start going faster. And it's just a whole experience. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't know anything about this ballet, but it was really interesting seeing it at the Segerstrom where we premiered it. It was a North American premiere that we had a nice strong audience for the first performance, but each subsequent performance, that audience got bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. It was really word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And the minute the curtain went down, the whole audience stood up and started screaming. So, you know, this is a new kind of storytelling. And with today's technique, today's sensibilities, today's technologies, et cetera, that is still very emotional, very moving, and just brings this the incredible technique of today's dancers, which mm-hmm. is so advanced. And so for me, I love to... So when you think about it, any classic today was innovative at the time it was created. So mm-hmm. when Swan Lake was first created, and in fact, Swan Lake was a bomb when it was first created, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to, as an art form, keep moving forward. You cannot keep regurgitating the past over and over again. We are a vital art form. We are a creative art form. We are working with today's dancers and today's technologies. And we need to incorporate all of that in order to be a vital art form. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be able to start the Met season with Onegin by John Cranko, which is just, you know, rip your heart apart, you know, romantic, unbelievable, you know, and then followed by Wolf Works, which is here is our brand new contemporary, and then followed by Swan Lake, you know, mm-hmm. and then Romeo, you know, all of those things. And so that when you have a subscription to see ballet theater, you get to see a very wide array of what our dancers can do today and also what is dance today, you know, mm-hmm. what is ballet today. And you're going to have people that love it and you're going to have people that hate it, right? And so, but that's not my job to worry about that. Mm-hmm. My job is to make sure that we've got our ear to the ground and we're moving forward while preserving the past. That's my job. And it's okay if not everybody likes it.
Mm-hmm. I think you are already making that journey into the past, that's, you know, keeping those landmark ballets of the 20th century, things that made ballet theater then. I loved the program that was The Dream and Ballet Imperial. So it's not that you're ignoring your heritage works by any means. And in fact, you're bringing things back that, I mean, Ballet Imperial, I don't think had been done in maybe 20 years. I remember seeing it at the Met a long time ago. Yeah. But maybe you can speak to that, like some of the heritage works that you are making that effort to preserve, in addition to contrasting it with the McGregors and the Wieldens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these are signature works, you know, Ballet Imperial, amazing Balanchine Ballet. We did Etudes, which is one of my favorite ballets in the whole wide world. Petite Mort, like all, you know, that season was really all of my favorites, all of my favorite choreographers, mm-hmm. all of my favorite classics. And also, you know, when you're programming, not only do you have to think about, you know, what would be interesting to the public and what's marketable, but also what inspires your dancers. Mm-hmm. Because when the dancers inspire, that energy comes across the footlights mm-hmm. and really challenging them. I grew up under Misha Berzhakov, where we were dancing, challenging repertory every single night. And they were these big ballets that we were doing, Twyla Tharp, you know, these huge ballets, Etudes, Ballet Imperials, you know, just ballet that really incorporates the full company. Mm-hmm. And so I really like that. And so, for example, we're going into our 85th anniversary in 2025. Mm-hmm. And that Coke season will have ballet theater, like historical ABT, mm-hmm. which will be a program that when you walk into it, if that was created in, you know, that would be what somebody would have seen in 1945. But all the great things that are still working in today's world for today's sensibilities. Then we'll have a full evening of Twyla Tharp, which I think people absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she created 22 ballets on us. And then ABT of the present. So with new choreographic work, with new choreographers, and also not all new, but one brand new piece. And then two new pieces of, you know, 21st century that has been choreographed on our current dancers. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to that, because we're also going to sort of take our audience through our 85 years and who we are, where we came from, why we exist, you know, where we're going. Yeah. So, so that's sort of why I think it's important to bring back the great ballets of the past, and to also bring in new works.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I wonder, you have this amazing vision for the company. I remember we talked about it last time, and now it's starting to come to fruition. I wonder if, because you can't just say, I want to do this, and then it happens. There's a process, there's a board, there's other parts of the administration that you have to, you know, go through, or, you know, convince that this is the right way to move forward. So I wonder what that has been like, kind of balancing maybe people. Like, I remember board members at Miami City Ballet would say, we want sets and costumes, you know? And so that was something that the artistic director kind of had to work around too. So how are you making that work as well?
I just think, you know, you need to be inspiring and persuasive.
That's
true. I mean, if you're not inspiring and persuasive, then anybody can just say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so
selling the vision.
You know, so you just have to have, you know, good taste as well. I mean, and experience, right? I mean, so, and it is interesting because, you know, I do think about this. A lot of people who are not ballet people think, oh, I could be the artistic director. You know, I choose this ballet, choose that ballet, blah, 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 blah. Everybody thinks so.
Right.
Not everybody, but a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the taste, the experience, why, you know, the actual why are you doing these works? And that why is in so many different areas. A, your dancers, B, your not in no particular order, your marketability, mm-hmm. and moving the art form forward. And so people say, well, I like this ballet and we should do this and we should do that. And seasons have to have a through line, right? It's not just a random. It's mm-hmm. absolutely not random at all. And it requires a lot of forethought. But, you know, somebody suggests something I might think is a good idea. Somebody suggests something and I don't think it is a good idea. I just say, thank you so much. You know, that I'll look into that. And, you know.
Well, I have to imagine too, when something like Wolf Works is such a success, that then you kind of can say, well, we did this. Here's another thing that's along the same lines and we can kind of continue that forward.
Yeah. And, you know, like if you have your artistic director there and let's just say, you know, if you ask for example, every single board member. One person's going to really love Swan Lake. The other person's going to really love Wolfworks coming in. Another person's going to really like, and so there's never, you're never going to please everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody has their own opinion, right? About what they think is good, right? So, so for example, last year I was sitting in front of a former board member who really gave a lot of money to the company, and his wife, and we sit down to dinner, and the wife is very vocal, and I love her. I love her. And she said, "What kind of crap are you putting on with like Water for Chocolate?" And I just smiled and I said, "You know, not everybody will like this ballet, you know, and there are people who have been at every single performance who keep coming back again and again and again, because it is, they think it's so amazing." Mm-hmm. And when the whole audience stands up at the end and they're crying and they're screaming and there's a standing ovation for 20 minutes, I'm going to continue to put on crap like this.
Yeah.
So,
you know, so yeah, everybody's got their opinion. Mm-hmm. The one area where I, of course, will always have to have parameters is around the financially, you know, I can't just go, you know, rogue and just do everything. And then, you know, I've got to be very thoughtful about, where we spend our money programmatically. And of course, that's my responsibility as much as it is the executive director and the board, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So, and I remember when I was being interviewed for this job and somebody was asking about that. And I said, you know, if you hire an artistic director that's not interested in the finances, you've hired the wrong artistic director, right? I mean, you know.
It's just such a vital part of the job in 2024. You can't really divorce the two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
I would love to hear you talk a little bit about working with the dancers. You've just promoted three dancers. You've made many hires of your own. So you're starting to be able to shape the roster to your vision. So what's that been like being in the studio with the dancers and getting to bring on new talent?
Yes. Well, you know, I love all of the dancers here. They are amazing. And when we have people coming in, stagers coming in from the outside world, they always say, "Your dancers work so hard. Your dancers are so available, are so ready, are so hungry." We don't get this. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. We don't get this. You know, oftentimes they're working in Europe where people's jobs there are secure, or they get paid 52 weeks a year, or, you know, they have a billion performances that month and they're saving themselves. And, you know, and here it's just a very different model. So, like, for example, the Wayne McGregor team, when they came in, they just said, you know, this is insane. They're unreal. They're like so amazing. And, you know, we've never seen a dance so well and blah, 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 blah. They'll just go on and on. And also the stager that came in for Onegin, she said to me, your principal dancers are as starry as any of the stars in Europe. And it's amazing. You have such a depth of talent. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I absolutely agree. We have some amazing up and comings as well. We have amazing people who are already established. And so it's very exciting to see that pipeline, you know, further down the levels. And also just to say, just a big shout out to Sasha Radetsky, who is the artistic director of the studio company. So we usually hire within the studio company, and it is Sasha's job to go out and find dancers that not only appeal to him, but appeal to me. Mm-hmm. And also to find, you know, a diverse array of dancers so that we can continue to increase our diversity in our ranks and also find the most excellent dancers he can find. And then he's incredible at training them and giving them performance opportunities, et cetera. So I get to, you know, I mean, of course, 6 a year, I get to bring in 6 of those dancers a year. And, you know, if there are people that I don't feel are suited, then I will not bring them in. But the ones that I have brought in, I think are amazing. And so I just feel very fortunate to have such Sasha's incredible eye and his incredible way that he teaches them and mentors them and also to be good humans. So it's been, you know, I got to inherit this, though I can't take any credit for it. And you know, my whole artistic team is incredible and I got to inherit that too. So,
But you know, at the same time, I think it speaks very highly of you that you're not going to let ego get in the way of, loving what you have inherited. You know, many a director will want to make their own stamp, but I think you understand that you are doing that without having to, I guess, bulldoze over history. And so I think you're finding a really beautiful balance. And as soon as you said the stager, I was like, I know Antoine loves these guys, the McGregor. Antoine is the best. I was staging a Justin Peck ballet opposite Antoine doing Chroma. And he's so precise and detail oriented and relentless in getting the work to look authentic. So for him to be raving about you guys in that way, I think is just really, you know, special and means a lot, because he is not one to just say, oh, everything's great. And, you know, he's very demanding.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, they're amazing. And that team was incredible. I mean, they came in on their day off, you know, because we work Tuesday through Saturday. They would come in on Mondays and work for 3-4 hours in the studio. And I would walk in and say, what's wrong with you all? Take a day off. You know, what's wrong with you? Right. And then they would come in 2 hours before every single day and be in a studio over the material. And then at the end of the day, you know, and I'd be walking out of here at 8 and I would see them still, you know, sitting there. And I would say, go home. They work very, very hard. And our dancers loved working with them. So, it was a win-win for everyone.
Michael and I at Miami City Ballet, we went through a director transition. So we know what that feels like as a dancer. And I always, when Lourdes came in, I always felt so bad. Like, it must be so hard to just come into an organization that's already established and then kind of just have to take over the reins. So I wonder what that was like for you. You were already familiar with the dancers. How did you like work to earn their trust when you started up with them?
You know, my thought is you can never force people to trust you. Mm-hmm. So it's really through track record, and that takes time. Mm-hmm. And so as long as I'm comfortable with that, and I know it takes time, then, you know, eventually they're going to trust me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't try to push. I don't try to force. I don't try to do anything. I just come in. I am who I am. I love dancers. I want to see them grow. I want to see them happy. And, you know, I mean, certainly there were a couple that I had to have difficult conversations with, like, yeah, you really need to step it up. Mm-hmm. So that was hard too, because, you know, that's really hard. You don't want to necessarily have those conversations, but at the same time, you know, one dancer I talked to, and a few months later they came in and I said, you know, you have to understand that sometimes when we think something is really bad, you know, we experience adversity, that when we go back and we look back, it's the best thing that ever happened to us. Mm-hmm. And so this dancer walked in and said, I just want you to know I've already experienced that, because now I'm doing this, and I'm feeling so much better and so much more. And so, you know, so just to always be honest. I think honesty is the biggest, most important thing you can do with a dancer. And even if you're saying to a dancer, look, you're not going to get that role because we've got six other people already in line for that. And I'm sorry, but you've got to just wait your turn. You know, you've got to be honest, because mm-hmm. not honest, they will not trust you. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you're not honest with yourself, you don't trust yourself either. So I think it's a lot easier to be honest in general. So,
right. So you came into a number of difficult situations. I'm wondering if you had to kind of recalibrate and put some goals you might have had on the back burner. And now that things are settling, you're getting a new executive director, are there things that you're able to come back to? Maybe you can spend more time in the studio, or maybe you have more stability in terms of bringing in rep. What are some things that now you can kind of refocus on?
We were, Barry and I were in a meeting with a woman who we're going to have lead our capital campaign when we're ready, but she's sort of starting the case statement, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And in that meeting, he turned to me, and this was on a Zoom, and he turned to me and he said, Susan, now I want you to start dreaming. I want you to develop a 5-year artistic plan, artistic vision. And he said, I know you've had your head down all year in operations, but now it's a time to start dreaming, because that artistic vision is going to be the thing that is going to we're going to be, you know, pounding the pavement, getting people excited and bringing in the funding, getting people inspired and excited and bringing in the funding to do this vision, to support this vision. And I did not realize how much I had held my breath the whole year, because I suddenly just let a breath out. And the unbelievable relief I felt to hear those words was actually a very emotional moment for me. So right now I am still doing operations, but on June 1st, Barry will come and take over. But I am starting to dream about, you know, certain ballets and, you know, talking about them with Barry. And he said, he would say, oh yeah, let's lean into that one, you know? So, yeah, it's exciting. And also, you know, just having a partner. And I also want to be his partner in going and fundraising for these things, getting people excited, you know? Because I also think that's a very important part of being one of the leaders of this organization. So, and I did that in all my other organizations. So I like it. I really like inspiring people. I love people who love us, who love the ballet, and they want to support us. And so I love, you know, getting to know them and seeing where they're excited and all of that. So yeah, those two things I am really looking forward to, being able to have the headspace to do.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's always so lovely to have you on, and it's so great to hear what's going on at ABT, and we look forward to all the new things to come, and we hope our audiences will go and see ABT as soon as they can.
I'll be seeing you at the Met this year for sure. I'll be in attendance as much as possible.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you also for your lovely questions.
Thank you. Conversations on Dance is part of the Acast Creator Network. For more information, visit conversationsondancepod.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.